Such an exciting day. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or a daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show. You and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org.
WPFW Washington.
To turn it around. Well, you know, I woke up this morning with my mind.
Dead or free. Oh, yeah. I woke up this morning with my mind.
Welcome to Heal DC, healing ourselves, healing our communities, and healing the nation. This is Joni. We want to wish everybody a happy new year, despite the challenges that are facing us. This is our first show, a live show of the new year. Chuck Hicks won't be with us today, but he's definitely with us in spirit. We're going to be spending most of the hour talking to our own Tyrone Parker. If some of you don't know him, make sure to keep your ears on and your radio on to hear about the important life journey of Native Washingtonian Tyrone Parker, who is going to be just releasing a new book on his life. But we're going to be spending a few minutes in the beginning of this show, as well as at the end of the show, talking about things that are happening this coming weekend in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King. And some of you who listen know that every year, I'm going to introduce Denise Rolick Barnes, and she can give you the history. Welcome, Denise. Denise is founder, is that the right word, Denise, of the Washington Informer, is just celebrating its 60th year with us here in D.C., and she also is in, together with Stuart Anderson, works on the annual Martin Luther King Peace Walk. We're going to hear a clip from Denise and Stuart. Maybe we can play that right now, Mikey, if it's available.
So, Stuart, here we are, right at Center Court at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Southeast Washington on the campus of St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Tell them what's going to happen here.
So, look, Denise, we're going to do something markedly different, something we've never done before. We're going to, first, the MLK Holiday DC Planning Committee will host the commemoration of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King on Saturday, January the 18th, 2025, right here at the Entertainment and Sports Arena. We're going to do it on January the 18th, Saturday, January the 18th, 2025, 11 a.m. Man, y'all got to come out and make sure that you be there so you can see it or be here.
See you there.
Okay, welcome, Denise. And Tyrone can jump in as well, as he's been very involved with these annual celebrations. Denise, give listeners who may not know the background of what you've been doing with the Peace Walk for many, many years, started by Marion Barry.
So thank you, Joni. I really appreciate being here.
Happy New Year to you and to the audience. It's really an exciting time for us. One, I want to make one correction. I'm not the founder of the Washington Informer.
I'm sorry.
Either my dad. That's okay. Someone tapped me on the shoulder the other day and said, you know, we have to speak the names of our ancestors.
Yes.
So I'm just very proud of my dad who started the Washington Informer in 1964. But it was several years after that, right after the assassination of Dr. King, and during the time that not only the District of Columbia, but cities and elected leaders across the country and just the general population were trying to push Congress and the president to set aside a day to honor Dr. King, to make it a federal holiday. And so here in the District of Columbia, my stepmother, the former council member, Wilhelmina Rolarg, my dad, Calvin Rolarg, and our beloved radio talk show host and community activist, Petey Green, got together and decided they were going to create or establish a Martin Luther King, annual Martin Luther King, annual Martin Luther King parade, because we didn't have a holiday, but it was just to push for the holiday, but also it was a way of you know, getting young people involved, because you know, if we didn't do anything, people would not only would they not know who Dr. Martin Luther King was, they wouldn't even know his name. So you know, it was 78 that the first Martin Luther King parade started here in Ward 8. Hosted that parade for the years that my stepmother served on the city council. After that, Edie Whittington did it, Sandy Allen did it, and then Marion Barry followed through, did the same thing, made sure that that parade took place every year. And then we were sort of threatened with no longer having a parade. And so that's when Keith Silver, Yengo Sawyer, and myself got together and said, if nothing else, we're going to march up Martin Luther King Avenue. We may not have bands, we may not have, you know, all the celebratory part, but we were going to bring people together. And people like, and we were focused, because there was so much violence going on, focused on those organizations that have been involved throughout the years who may not have worked together, but they were working for the same mission. And that is to create, you know, a peaceful, nonviolent community. So Tyrone Parker was there. I mean, you name it, folks turned out that Saturday morning, Monday morning on the day of the holiday, thanks to Mayor Finty, who, you know, we didn't have a permit, but he was there and he made sure the MPD gave us a lane on Martin Luther King Avenue, and we walked up the avenue. And after about 7 years of having just the peace walk, there was a push by the community and others that we bring back the parade. And, you know, folks don't know, you know, parade's a lot different than a First Amendment march, but we did it and we have been successful in doing this. So now but we didn't want to abandon the peace walk. It was really important that we sustain that part of the day's event. So the parade always begins with the peace walk, and then the peace walk leads the parade, no matter which direction we're going in, up or down Martin Luther King Avenue. We've gone up and down and every way. So this year, because the holiday also falls on Inauguration Day, you know, Inauguration Day is always January 20th, and Martin Luther King holiday is always the third Monday in January. And this year they just happened to be on the same date. So because we knew the city's resources were going to be so tied up, we approached Events DC and asked, you know, we went there and said, I wonder if this can work. And we're asking everybody to pray for us, because we hope that this will work. We've been planning and planning and planning. But we're really excited. We've got 10 marching bands. We've got dancers. We've got community organizations. You know, we've got over 65 groups, probably about 2,500 people that will be marching through the ESA. Sam Ford and myself will be the MCs, but we've got all kinds of activities planned. We've got a health fair that's going to take place as well on the upper level of the main entrance of the entertainment and sports arena. So now we just want to make sure that we can get 2,500 to 3,000 people in those seats to watch, mainly young folks who are going to come out. They won't be in the cold. Nobody will be in the cold this year, which makes it great. But come and celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. If you're coming, I have to stress, please go to the website, our website, mlkholidaydc.org, and register. The event is free. It's open to the public, but you have to register. So as my daddy used to say, tell Lottie Dottie and everybody, come on out to the Entertainment and Sports Arena on Saturday, January 18th. The doors were open at 10:30 a.m. The event will start sharply at 11. And folks, we got to be out of there by 2. So we're hoping that we have just a great, great celebration. And we want you to be a part of it. Joni, thank you for giving me this time.
Well, thank you, Denise. And usually we would have more time, but you're going to be joining us next Monday on the air. So, but tell people who may not know the address of the.
It's the Entertainment and Sports Arena is 1100 Oak Drive Southeast. It's the place where the Mystics play. It's the place where the Go-Go's play. It's on the campus of St. Elizabeth's. It's walking distance from the Congress Heights Metro Station. It's right across the street from Sycamore and Oak. If you haven't been over to the campus, you need to come and check it out. We've got a lot of things going on over here. But the address again is 1100 Oak Street. I'm sorry, Oak Drive, Southeast. 1100 Oak Drive.
And that is Saturday. People should be there by 10:30 if they want to participate.
Right, right.
Yes.
The doors will open at 10:30.
Okay. And I normally would ask Tyrone to jump in and say something, but we're going to be spending the rest of the hour with Tyrone, so he can tell people a little later. But thank you so much, Denise, and you're welcome to stay on with us if you have time. And we look forward to being with you next Monday when we'll be doing a two-hour Dr. King special.
So, sure. Thanks, Joni. And congratulations to Tyrone for the book. We look forward to reading it, reviewing it, and hearing more about it. So I am going to be listening in while you do your conversation with Tyrone Parker.
Okay, thank you so much, Denise Rowlock Barnes. Let's jump right in with Tyrone Parker. Good morning, Tyrone. Tyrone, if you unmute yourself, hopefully we can hear you. Tyrone, as many of you know, is Native Washingtonian who has quite a life's journey, many experiences in his life that he's going to share with us. The first periods of his life were quite challenging, as he's going to share, but step by step, he really has bloomed into one of our community heroes. A book has just been published where he's going to soon be doing some book launches, book events. Is Tyrone with us on the air? The name of the book is The Man, the Message, and the Mission. And Tyrone is going to kind of walk us through five transformational points in his life that really brought him where he is today. And Tyrone has been very much a part of the WPFW community and much, much more. And we're gonna hear Tyrone tell his story. So welcome, good morning, Tyrone. He's unmuting, okay. So again, many of you may know of Tyrone. Hopefully many of you know him in many ways in the community, but among many other things, he, after his son was killed, He was a co-founder of the Alliance of Concerned Men, which has been one of the most important, or very, very important organization in D.C. that is organizing to stop the violence. And Tyrone's going to walk us through what brought him to that point and some of the things he's been doing since then. Tyrone's still trying to unmute. Let's see. Okay. Do you think there's a problem, Mikey, why he can't unmute? Okay. Let me make some other announcements then. Again, there's a lot going on this Saturday, January 18th, as well as, of course, Monday, January 20th. There's going to be quite a number of other marches downtown in the center of town. I'm trying to find my notes, but you can go to the peoplesmarch.com. There's going to be a People's March that's focusing on women's issues as a top priority, but also other issues such as stopping the war in Gaza. That march is going to start early, around 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Again, you can go to the peoplesmarch.com and see, find out about it. There's also a People's Assembly at 4 p.m. Later on, we're going to hear about a special concert in the evening. And perhaps I also should mention, since we may be tight on time, that many of you know about H.Rap Brown. H.Rap Brown, who's now also known as Imam Jamil Al-Amin, he's 81 years old. Many of you do remember him. He's been incarcerated for 24 years, many believe unjustly. He's currently suffering from multiple health challenges as he's incarcerated, including cancer. He's had many strokes. He has a life-threatening tumor. Okay, Tyrone, I'm going to finish up. You're going to help me with this. So there's Kokai Patterson and others are organizing a special event on Friday for people to come out and protest. For basic information around this, around the Imam Jamil Action Network, you can call 202-520-9997. There is going to be a rally Friday at 3 p.m. At the D.C. Bureau of Prisons. This Friday, January 17th, 3 p.m. at the D.C. Bureau of Prisons, which is 320 First Street Northwest. And again, this is a national call to try to save this brother's life and not let him die from medical neglect. So this is a Stop Death by Medical Neglect rally Friday at 3 p.m. at the D.C. Bureau of Prisons. So with that said, welcome, Tyrone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy New Year's to you, Joni. This is the first show of the year, and we're already starting off with a bang. I heard Denise on speaking about the Peace March and the parade, in which we've done an extraordinary job in regards to pulling this together, especially by being the first time around. You know, so we're excited about that, and just so much going on. Then
we've been working to save time to put a spotlight, shine a light on you and your journey, because your journey is really meaningful for many of us. We all face life challenges. You just are launching a book, The Man, The Message, and The Mission. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But you've been sharing with me, Tyrone, that you've had some transitional moments in your life that you mentioned five different things that really were transformational that brought you to where you are today. And again, for people who don't know Tyrone, listen carefully as he gets to that part of the story where he talks about so many of the things he's done to save our community. So Tyrone, welcome and start sharing your, maybe your first transformational moment among your five.
You know, Johnny, I think it's no question about it. My life has really been, for lack of a better term, a very colorful life. In the contents of the challenges that I've been confronted with and the spirits of transformation. And I think at the same time, to be able to meet and know good people that have enhanced and that have helped me to make the transformation. At an early age of 16 years old, I was locked up for, you know, for a robbery charge where I was sent to national prison.
Tyrone, I'm sorry. Start a little earlier that you, before you were 16, you had some challenges as a child. And it's important for us to know that children who have challenges, it's rough for them. So start out before you were incarcerated, if you would.
You know, John, and I think from that perspective there, as a kid, as a young man, growing up in the District of Columbia, young guy, kid, growing up in the District of Columbia, during the time that we was just making a transition pertaining to segregation, where I had, we're coming up in a one family home, which folks you often hear. But you know, at that time, I had a good mother who was always there with us, doing all that she could do to help to navigate the challenges that we were confronted with. I was, you know, hard-headed. I just was not listening to my mother, and I decided to go into the streets. Upon going into the streets at an early age and, you know, seeing some of the things that really was intriguing to me, exciting to me, I got involved with it, you know. And at that point in time, as will always occur, a form of incarceration would come about. But, you know, at Jonah, as I look back at that segment of my life, I tend to look at what were the reasons that actually caused for me to go into the street. What up with the violence that I actually saw in my own household pertaining to my mother and father arguing and fighting and whatnot, you know? And what were the things that really encouraged me to step outside and to give value to valueless things? So that was the first segment of it, Joni, you know, leaving out of a household where things were not as I thought or felt they should be, but having a good mother who was always trying to do the best that she can and getting in trouble. I wind up coming back to National Training School at an early age in my life. And then from there, after coming home at the age of 19, wind up getting 15 to 45 years for a robbery charge. And then at the age of 20, getting 30 years. So by the time I was 20 years old, I had 75 years, Joni. Mm. And these challenges for me as a young guy, you know, was just monumental. But at the same time, Joni, I was blessed to be able to, and you might find this strange, to be able to be in a facility, Lawton Reformatory, where we had the opportunity to begin for transformation, where we were within a correctional person by the name of John Boone, who believed in progressive penology, who believed in giving individuals another opportunity, a chance to go into their community, a chance to learn community. And this was also one of the transformational components of my life journey. I was, for lack of a better term, I was blessed enough to be at the right place at the right time in regards to Lawton Reformatory, considering the many challenges that I was confronted with. With 75 years inside the Lawton Reformatory, I was able to learn what community looked like. Because on any given day, Joni, there was almost 200 or 300 inmates in the District of Columbia doing community services. We learned these things while being confined. We learned what our presence was in regards to that. My life, Joni, basically at that particular point was challenging. because Lorton was also a challenging place to be at in regards to the things that was going on inside of Lorton. You had three components I felt that was there. You had those individuals that wanted to do the right thing, those individuals that didn't give a damn about doing the right thing, and those individuals that were basically just in fear and was just there. So, you know, from those perspectives there, I was fortunate enough to be able to get involved with different programs, different ideas, different perspectives, enabling me to come home and to begin to a transformation. But it did not really hit me then, Joanne, because I was blessed enough to start go over to Union Temple Church, where I learned God at, where I was blessed enough to have a wife, got married, where I learned love, that I learned concern from. I was fortunate enough, Joanie, to have a support system. My son was killed during the time that I was just coming home from Lorton Reform.
What year was that, Tyrone?
My son was killed in 1989. He was killed over at Crystal Skating Ring, a place known as a skating ring. He was a big rapper in the city. A rapping Rodney was his name. And that was the spirit of who he was. And when he was killed, I basically began to look at the shape of the city, what was happening in the city. Because as Denise stated, you know, one of the reasons for the peace march was by virtue of so much violence that was going on within the city. So from that perspective, a number of us began to organize. And from that came the Alliance of Concerned Men, an organization that I helped to formulate. But Joni, I was not through. That's where the colorful part come in. And I often feel so bothered about this because during that time, just as I was making a transition, I was going to Union Temple Church, Joni. And while going to the church, I had not gotten my life completely together, Joni. So I wind up catching a charge while going to church, Joni, over Union Temple. And I'll never forget this fear. A lady by the name of Juanita Jefferson. Juanita, when she heard that I had caught a charge, Juanita said, "Tyrone, do Reverend Wilson know that you are in court?" I said, "No." Because I was so embarrassed, Joni. I was in church and I was still had not made that total transition. And then she went on to say, "Well, you got to tell Reverend Wilson." I went to Rev and told Reverend Wilson what had occurred or what was happening. I was in court. He did not ask me why. He did not ask me what the charge was. He did not ask me what had happened. All he asked was one thing. What could he do to help, Johnny? And this here was also another part of my life where I saw compassion, I saw love, and I saw comfort in the church. And Rev was right there with me as I went to court. But when I went to court, Joni, I was given 10 years. So at that point in time, I had 10 years in Maryland, and I had 30 years in backup time over at Lorton Reformatory, Joni. Mm. But the combination of these things came together for me to begin to make the transformation inside of that Jessup Reformatory, where I began to look at myself as being a person, as being someone that had value. And I was fortunate to the degree, Joni, that I had a good wife that was with me, that showed me and stayed with me during those trying times, Joni. Mm. So that component there, the combination of a real storm occurring where Joni, where I was coming home from Jessup, my son was killed, my wife was there with me, and I thought about, what could I do to help the community? How could I begin to pull things together? Because I had the desire in me to begin to do some things. So we came together as the Alliance of Concerned Men. And we began to go into the streets, Joni, talking to the kids, looking at their situation and building it. And one of the things I've often heard Denise Fine say, as we would come together, meeting with different organizations, meeting with community, because we were concerned about our community. We did not want to live in the this hell that we were living in. At that point in time, the district was considered to be the murder capital of the USA, where we had 484 homicides a year that was occurring, John. Yeah, but we, as a community, knew that we had ideas, that we had the will and the spirit, and we came together. And one of the things I often heard Denise say, that we may not have been on the same page, but we all had the same goal. And collectively, we were able to build a unified community that made the transformation of the District of Columbia, coming from the murder capital of the USA to the 10th best place in the country to live at. And it was done by virtue of the spirit of community, collective community, that believed in that each other and built from that point there, John.
Absolutely. Look, Chiron, let me just let listeners know they're listening to 89.3 WPFW. This is To Heal DC, and we're spending most of the rest of the hour talking with Tyrone Parker. Many of you know him through his work in the community, or not everybody does, though, but Tyrone and I thought it would be good to hear his story and the launch of his book in the beginning of this year, because it sends a positive message, an inspirational message for many of us. The book is called The Man, The Message, and the Mission.
To help save the nation's capital.
So let's keep going through the transformational moments. Now, the Alliance of Concerned Men was formed in what year?
We were formed in 1991. My son was killed in 1989.
Right.
We basically came together to begin to understand what was occurring within the district. See, because Joni, during that time, we had never seen our kids dying at the rate that they were dying at. It was out of the norm, because usually the parents, the children would bury their parents. That was the traditional way of it. But we was now seeing parents burying their children, and we did not understand what was occurring. So for almost the first 3 or 4 years, Joni, it took us about that time to figure out what was going on. Why was these things occurring in regard to our children killing each other? Then after we kind of figured what was happening by virtue of the conditions, the environments, and circumstances, we began to say, what could we do to help to change this? And this is when we came up with programs. This is when we went into our institutions, our correctional institutions. We went into the halfway houses, the group homes. We met the kids on the group on the corners. We began to build relationships with the kids, because that is the common denominator. You've got to be able to build relationships, because they are everything. And upon building these relationships, we became known as the walking wise men in different communities. But what really, really, really built the alliance in the context of a national perspective, we went into Benin Terrace, a place they consider a simple city, where a 12-year-old kid was killed, Darrell Hall. He was killed on the way to school. They found him with 3 bullets in his head. At that point in time, the alliance began to say, we cannot continue to do this here. We have got to make a change. And I'll never forget this. We used to meet at each other's house, because we didn't have a computer. We didn't have a calculator. We didn't have a place to meet. We were a grassroots organization of Black men that wanted to do something. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning, when we saw on the Washington Post where a 12-year-old kid was killed. We was over at James Mack Alsop Brooks' house, and Angela Alsop Brooks' daddy, who is now the senator of the state of Maryland. We would meet at each other's houses, and we would rotate. But that particular Sunday, we happened to meet over at Mack's house, who is James Mack Alsop Brooks, Angela's father. And began to meet, and we said, we got to do something about this in regards to what's occurring. So we said we were going over to Benetton to begin to reach out to find out what could we do to help the violence. But the environments, Joni, of the alliance and the contents of the spirit, that particular Sunday, meeting at Mac's house, and I'll never forget this, and this is one of the reasons why I always look at Angie, Because I remember so clearly when Angie and her mother and them was cooking breakfast and getting, we were meeting and they were coming together in the households, looking at the ideas and formulating. Her spirit of commitment was there as well as her daddy's, as which she comes from. But this is what launched us. Went over to Benning Terrace and we began to talk to the kids, began to reach East Side and bring the East Side together for the purpose of ending the violence. In a period of almost 2 to 3 weeks, we were able to bring both sides together and negotiate a truce that went on to become, I think, one of the most sustainable truces in this city here, because those two crews between each other is yet to fire a shot at one another. And that's been 20 some years between those two crews. And that virtually what occurred is that the resources and the support has not been as sustainable as it has been in the past over there. But when between the two crews are circling the avenue, to this day here, those young brothers had never fired not one shot at each other, and they went on to make major transformations of their lives. So don't get us.
It's such an important story, Tyrone. I've heard you talk many times of the lessons from that period of time where you had that major victory, and you, Tyrone, did some very heroic and heartwarming things to bring those brothers together. But you often talk about the lessons from that experience. And we need to keep repeating what those lessons were. I don't know if you can briefly mention a few of them. But again, we're talking to Tyrone Parker. His book is just coming out, The Man, the Message, and the Mission. So keep rolling, Tyrone. We have less than 10 minutes left.
Johnny, and I think from the best perspective of my book and the contents of my life, I wanted to be able to demonstrate or to show individuals that you could have a start with so many challenges were confronted with you, that you've been confronted with. But nevertheless, God could give you the spirit and the will to make a change for the good of people, to do all my life. Going to Union Temple Church, finding God, and then having a good wife that would support me, and then being able to understand what my commitment to the community was, Joni, to be able to reach into the community with a group of Black men that had a legitimate commitment to make the transformation. And those commitments, Joni, still stand today. We're community persons that have the desire to make the difference, to have the desire to make the change, is the common denominator. We are the solutions to the violence or to the disruptions that's going on within our city. But to come back to me in the sense of saying, from a young kid of 15 years old, getting in trouble, and then going on to be acknowledged for the great work that God had blessed me to be able to do, I know that from the beginning of my life where I was condemned. In fact, the Nixon administration, the first chapter of my book is about massive incarceration, where I was caught up in regards to that from that beginning there, where the Nixon administration went on to make comments about me in front of the Judiciary Committee, where President Nixon basically was attempting to eliminate the Bail Reform Act, and they utilized my name and my character as a reason as to why. But come some 30 years later to be acknowledged by President Biden by virtue of the work that I've been able to do in regard to the community. So to be condemned by one administration, but commended by another administration, and then being able to have the spirit of God inside of me to be able to make the transformation for the greater good of our community. It's been a wealth of different things that I've been able to do, but I could have not done anything without the spirit of God. In our community, we have so much resources in regards to people, desires, wills to make a difference in our community. This is the spirit of it, of the book.
Yes, and Mike, if you could play a little bit of the song that we Tyrone requested, Grateful, and then we'll come back to Tyrone to wrap up.
The spirit of death song, just being so grateful for what God had allowed and had blessed me to be able to do, to be so grateful for the transformations that I've been able to be a part of. After we negotiated the truce up in Benetier, we went all through the city. We went to 640 Morton Street, went to Woodland Terrace, went to 7th and O, negotiating truce where these kids put their guns down and began to pick up going to school, going to college, getting jobs, getting married. They became a part of what they believed that they could do with the right support systems. To be able to be a part of those type of things, Joni, over the last 35 years, constantly having a commitment for people. I love my people. I have desire to see my people make changes and do the and just be extraordinary. That's why I'm so grateful, Joni.
Grateful. Yes, and Tyrone Parker, we are grateful for you. We're grateful for the Alliance of Concerned Men, and we're grateful that for all the things you continue to do. And I'm going to ask you real quick two questions. If you were, I'm not going to say if you were the mayor, but let's say if you were the mayor, what would be two or three things that you would make sure were funded and supported to help reduce the violence in the city?
Johnny, I would make sure that we had opportunities for those community-based organizations that have a desire to do the work, to be able to get into these situations where it would not be so much red tape. Give them the necessary resources. Give them the support system that they need. And then you see the natural resources of them wanting to take care of their own communities and being able to do the work. That's the first thing I would ask. Give those individuals the necessary resources, the training that they need, support that they need, and you will see the transformation of the work that would take on its own perspective of it.
Absolutely. And right now, the budget has not been increased, correct?
From what I'm told, it has not. They're looking at different, giving more resources to the police. It's changing over into an ideology that they're saying, let's look at the kids and the contents that's doing the violence. Let's go into the schools, which is good. Let's go into the school, but don't forget the younger kids as well, those that's 16, 17, 18 years old. Don't just color them off as being hopeless. Let's look at this. We can work with all our kids, but give the people the resources and the necessary support that they need to become the surgeons.
Yes, in their own community. The organizations that are doing the work. And the last thing I'll ask you right now is, you and as well as other people, and specifically brothers through an organization called CRUZ, and perhaps some other organizations, you're doing some amazing work to support the children that are going to school every day. So just give us a little snapshot idea of what you all are doing that is very inspiring.
Well, since my retirement, Joni, I'm working with an organization known as CRUZ. And we have them totally volunteering. We want to be able to show the children that you can have Black men out on them, Black men and women on the corners working with them as they go to school. So we're over on Eli and Minnesota Avenue, working Safe Passage for Susan to Kimmel. with a number of brothers that's from the Nation of Islam, 100 Fathers, Parent Watch, a number of us come together, and we're there every Monday and every Friday in the morning and in the afternoon. We've been doing this for 2 years, total volunteering, to show the children that we will be there. And you ought to see how they accept us. You ought to see the spirit that they reach, that they reach out to us, they wave us, they speak to us. It's good morning, good afternoon. It's transformational. We give free gloves out to them, free hats out to them. We feed them. And all of this has been total volunteering to show the children, to show the community that we as Black men and Black women can do our part, even if we don't have the necessary resources to do it. We need the resources. But even without it, for 2 years, we have been volunteering every Monday and every Friday morning and in the afternoon.
And doing that. Tyrone, what does CRUSE stand for? What are the initials stand for? Do you remember?
Community coming together and respecting each other's existence to exist, the right to exist to exist.
And I must say, I wish we were a television, could be a TV station for a moment, because if you could see a picture of these brothers standing on the street, welcoming the children going to school, it is so inspiring and it's so important. So Tyrone, we want to thank you. I hate to say we're out of time for the moment, but we want everybody to keep your eyes and ears open. Tyrone's book, The Man, The Message, The Mission, the book.
They have to say the nation's capital. That's the spirit of it.
So Tyrone, in coming up in February or in the near future, what you're going to have a series of book launches.
We're going to be having a number of different book signings. And then we're going to be over at the Union Temple. We're going to be at Bus Boys and Poems. We're going to be a number of different places. And Denise has got to work with me on it. So, you know, I'm excited about the book.
Yes.
You know, because
we'll keep the listening audience posted about that. But we have to be mindful of the clock. So we're going to, we mentioned the protest or the rally on Friday, 3 p.m. at the D.C. Bureau of Prisons with regards to H.Rap Brown. Again, for more information, you can call Kokai and at the Mom Jamil Action Network, 202-520-9997. That is this Friday, 3 p.m. at the D.C. Bureau of Prisons. There's going to be the Stop Death by Medical Neglect rally. Before we're out of time, we also want to welcome Pam Rogers, who's been very much a part of this show and, of course, of this station, is having a special event on Saturday. So welcome, Pam.
Thank you, Joni. I'm so glad to talk to you and glad to be here.
Yes. And Pam, among many other things, helped to found a singing ensemble called In Process. So, Pam, tell us the story and tell us what is happening on Saturday.
Well, we've been blessed to be a part of the community and singing songs of freedom and justice for 45 years. The group was started by Sweet Honey in the Rock in 1980. And we have just gone on from there and been a part of so many community events supporting the work of the community. We want to celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday in a special way, especially this year. We're going to be joining with another a cappella group, a male a cappella group called Reverb, who is a gospel group. And we're going to be singing freedom songs and songs from the civil rights movement in celebration of Martin Luther King. And so our concert is going to be called I Don't Feel No Ways Tired. And it's going to be this Saturday, January 18th, at the Metropolitan Community Church in Northwest DC near Dunbar High School. So people who want more details on it can go to our website, inprocess.org, or call 202-723-4612. So I'm hoping that people will come out and celebrate Martin Luther King with us, and also get encouragement for moving forward.
Absolutely. And let's give one more time. That's Saturday evening, 6 p.m. at the Metropolitan Community Church, mm-hmm. Northwest D.C., which is near Dunbar High School.
Yes, it is.
And again, for more information, give that out one more time, Pam.
Go to inprocess.org website or call 202-723-4612.
Okay, and again, that's a special concert, a cappella concert with two different a cappella DC singing groups, In Process and Reverb. So thank you very much, Pam.
Thank you so much, Joni, for letting us be a part of this. And thank you so much, Tyrone, for all the work you're doing in the community. I've seen you down the corner, and I know what the work y'all are doing, so it's fabulous. Thank you for sharing this space. Okay.
Okay, Tyrone, we have about 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes left. Maybe you could kind of wrap up your, I don't want to say wrap up your life story, but wrap up kind of the message and the spirit of your book.
You know, Joni, the message and the spirit of my book is basically, as the young lady stated, Sweet Honey and the Rock, the spirit of how long they've been doing the work, Denise Bond and the march on Peace March for Washington, D.C., where community is coming together to be able to transform their ourselves as a collective community. And this is the spirit of my book, The Man, the Message, and the Mission, that have come about from transformation, to be able to show individuals that it's not where you start off at, but where you can end at, and that you can help somebody else other than yourself. Get the book. The book will give you a roadmap of transformation for individuals that feel like they are hopeless, they can't stand a chance, they don't have the support. You will find out that you have the support that God has given you already. It's just a matter of believing in yourself. The man, the mission, and the message of Tyrone Park.
Absolutely.
And thank you so much, Joni, for your extraordinary support for the work you're doing as well.
I'm excited
about these times.
And we want to, and we're excited about you and your book and what you continue to do, giving us hope. You know, of course, we know on the this so-called media that the mainstream media only promotes all this horrible news, terrible news, but never uplifts us with the victories that people like you and organizations out in the community are doing. But we want to make sure that people. Well, first of all, let me thank everybody who helps the To Heal DC team. Very much thank Magic Mike, our wonderful
Magic Mike.
We continue to wish him a happy birthday month. We couldn't do it without him. Also, thanks to Mari, thanks to Crystal, and thanks to my friend Frank Smith, who's you can hear with Dr. Watkins every Monday at 2 p.m., who helped me tremendously with the challenges I have with technology and the computer. So thank you, Frank. You can listen to their show today. They're going to have a very important show on nutrition related to preventing dementia. So we want to, maybe Tyrone, you can help me remind people about Saturday. They can go to the Peace Walk, which is going to be inside at the...
It's going to take place. The Peace Walk is going to take place over at the Sports Arena, the Entertainer Sports Arena, 100 Oaks Drive, Southeast Washington, D.C. And it's free, but you got to go to the website to see this extraordinary event that's going to occur again. Even while we had to make adjustments, instead of marching down Martin Luther King Avenue by virtue of the circumstances, we're going to be over at the Sports Center, the Entertainment Sports Arena.
Tyrone, do you happen to have the website? I don't have it in front of me, but you can look, because we're about out of time. Okay. unfortunately, we don't have that, but that's you can perhaps contact.
And we're in the same spirit that the commanders. We're on a roll here in the nation's capital. Martin Luther King.
Okay, Tyrone, we want to play our outgoing song. And everybody stay safe and have a good celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King holiday that we fought for, including
that's right.
DFW. It's our holiday.
What do Angela Davis, Mehdi Hasan, Ibrahim X. Kendi, V, formerly Eve Ensler, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Sonia Sanchez, Amy Goodman, Medea Benjamin, Mosab Abu Toha, Congresswoman Cori Bush, Noura Erekat, Congressman Jamal Bowman, Farafina Khan, Linda Sarsour, Isra Shakir, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Sweet Honey in the Rock, and WPFW have in common? Well, Busboys and Poets 2025 Peace Ball, Voices of Justice and Liberation, an event featuring live music, speeches, performances, food, and drink. Details, including a complete list of speakers and performers, as well as how you can both support WPFW and join the fun on Saturday, January 18th, 8 p.m. at Arena Stage's Mead Center for American Theater, can be found at WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
This is Rev Yearwood, and I am so excited to announce our new climate show, Think 100% Climate Friday. This show will keep you up to date on everything climate justice related in a rapidly changing world. We will discuss breaking news and updates on environmental issues, the climate crisis, COVID-19, and politics. This show will make tangible how the climate crisis is already impacting our lives and what you can do about it. So tune in every Friday at 9 o'clock a.m. right here on WPFW 89.3, your jazz and justice station.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at WPFWFM.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? Please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
We're back! WPFW is excited to announce the return of the Social Justice Calendar, your go-to weekly update on the latest events, actions, and initiatives promoting equity, justice, and change across our community. The calendar's mission is to connect you with the heartbeat of grassroots activism in the DMV. Each week, we'll spotlight rallies, workshops, forums, and community actions happening across the region. If you have an event to share, submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. please include the name, date, and address of said event in a format that is no longer than a sentence or two on Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, at least 2 weeks in advance of your event date. Space is limited, so submissions are considered in the order that they are received. The Social Justice Calendar is yet another way that WPFW connects, engages, and uplifts our community as we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
No social.